Good to be with you this morning. We're going again to be studying from the parables of Jesus, and in particular the parables on prayer this morning. Now, if you remember from last week, we looked at one of the parables of Jesus, and we looked at the idea that Jesus sometimes uses overstatement, or there's something in the parable that maybe doesn't quite fit. Hopefully you'll see that as we go through the parables today, that there's always something in the parable that doesn't quite fit in there like we think it maybe should. And that sort of gives us a key to what Jesus is talking to us about. Now, if you think about prayer, prayer reflects faith. It takes faith to prayer, and when we pray, hopefully it will build our faith. But sometimes we can be a little bit short-sighted. If you look over to James, he says, "You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly or from the wrong motives, to spend it on your own passions, your own desires. You adulterous or unfaithful people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity towards God?" How often do our prayers reflect the things of the world versus the things that are of God? And the idea really comes to the idea that our prayers need to be founded in our faith in God and God's way. Not just the idea that God is God, but the idea that God's way is better than the ways of this world. Think about some of the things we pray about. Often people ask us to pray for the sick. In fact, if you pick up our bulletin, you'll notice a lot of people in there that are sick, that people ask for prayers for these people. Have you ever thought about praying for the sick? Go back in the Bible and look at the prayers for the sick in the New Testament. You can read through all of Paul. In fact, I went through every single time that Paul calls out prayer or praying, and it's a lot of times. He has a lot of prayers. He talks about praying a lot of times. Never once does Paul talk about praying for the sick. Ever thought about why that would be? You don't read about it in John. You don't read about it in Peter. They talk about praying for a lot of different things, but they never talk about praying for the sick. In fact, you'll find they don't talk about praying for any of the troubles that we have. Most of our prayers center around for God to solve our problems. We have a sickness, and the normal thing to do, when somebody is sick, what do we want to do? We want them to be well. And so we pray for them to be well. And we pray for God to solve our problems. But that's not really where the prayers in the New Testament are found. We don't find that. Paul talks about our troubles in life. We should rejoice when we have trouble. Why? Because it builds our endurance. It builds our character. We think about that. You can understand that. When are the things that build us into the people that we can be? It's when we overcome the troubles of life. And that's what Paul says. He said, when you face trials or troubles of any kind, they build your endurance. They build your character. This is how God molds you into the kind of people you should be. Now, if that's true, then we pray for God just to solve all our problems. What are we doing? Are we really praying according to what God wants or to what the world? A lot of our prayers are very worldly. We want to pray that everything in this world is solved, is good. And do we really have faith that God's way is really the best way? And sometimes that's not an easy thing to answer. Because we do. When somebody's sick, what do we want? We want them to be well. When somebody needs a job, what do we want? We want them to have a job. We want to solve the problems of this world. And we don't think about the fact, what is best for us spiritually? Paul says, the best thing for you spiritually is to overcome it. So our prayer should be more on the idea of comfort. We know God's the God of all comfort. More on the idea that God would give us strength to overcome these things so that we can become the people that we can be. But sometimes that takes a little bit more thought. I think sometimes it's easier to pray the prayer for God just to fix everything. When do people come to the Lord? When do people really repent of being in the world and come to the Lord? Is it in times of trials and trouble? If everything goes along just fine with us, do we ever make a change? When do we make changes in our life? Is it not when we're faced with trials and troubles? One of the things I think our prayers need to reflect is our faith in God's way versus the ways of the world. That's what James is saying. He says, too often your prayers reflect the things of this world. You just want things of the world. And we need to think, do we really believe that God's way is better than that? And so do we really want to pray for the strength and the comfort and the guidance that comes from God to see us through the troubles of this world? And that's what do we see for our prayers? And not only do what do we see, do we really have that kind of faith? We'll be looking this morning at having faith in prayer. Jesus tells two little parables that we're going to look at. And in looking at and considering these two little simple little parables, we'll look at having faith in God's way and having faith that God hears our prayers when we pray them. And sometimes I think we lose that because we pray for the wrong things. And as James says, you don't get them. And so when things don't work out just the way you want it to, what happens to your faith? You see, and so often it's not that God's not hearing your prayers, it's that you're praying. You're not really praying according to God's will and in His name. Look over to Luke chapter 11, and we'll take a look at the first parable this morning. In Luke chapter 11, to look at any parable, if you remember from our studies, we go through the parables, we need to look at the context of the parable. Well, this when Jesus, His disciples come to Jesus, ask Jesus, help us to pray. And we receive what often we refer to as the Lord's Prayer, the longer versions in Matthew. But look at what He says here in Luke. And Jesus said to them, when you pray, Father, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who sins or is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. Now, there's a couple little simple things in this prayer. First, the prayers to our Father. Prayers are to God, our Father. And the idea that we call God Father. And that's an important part that in how we view God. We view God as our Heavenly Father who takes care of us as His children. But that also implies that we are His children, to be able to call Him Father. Now, in this simple little prayer, Jesus has the physical, the things that we need, but also the spiritual, that we look upon and love our neighbors ourselves by forgiving each other our sins, and we look toward God to lead us not into temptation, to guide us in our lives. So we have the physical and you have the spiritual, but you also have the idea that we call upon God as our Father. Jesus, when He's talking to His disciples over in John, He says, truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in My name, He will give it to you. Until now, you have not asked anything in My name. Ask and you will receive. And we'll see that more as we go along. And your joy will be complete. So we ask our Father in the name of Jesus. In other words, we come to God through Jesus Christ. And we pray to God the Father. And we think about you praying to Jesus, but you think about those prayers going to the Father, that He watches over His children. Now, in every one of Paul's letters, as we mentioned before, Paul starts with grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can think about the blessings coming to us from the Father and from the Son. So we pray to the Father through the Son, and our prayers go up to the Father through Jesus. So you know, people say, do I pray to Jesus? It's hard to differentiate. But the idea is we have a friend in God, and He's our Father who takes care of us. And He's close to us. And we'll see that as we see the parables, that He is truly close to us. The second parable we're going to look at in just a minute is over in Luke chapter 18. And there it starts off, it says, pray so you do not lose heart. In other words, the idea of prayer will build your faith. And we'll see that as we go through this morning. Now look with me at this short little parable, Luke chapter just a few verses here in Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 5. And He said, which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and have nothing set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is shut. My children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not give up and give anything because he's his friend. Yet because of his imprudence or boldness or persistence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. What part of this parable doesn't make sense? When you look at parables, there's usually one part of the parable that doesn't fit. If you remember from last week, we looked at the unmerciful servant, the man that owed 10,000 talents to his master. And we looked at 10,000 talents as like saying he owed a billion or a billion and billions of dollars. No one could really owe that much. What was the point Jesus was making? That God's grace can overwhelm any debt, regardless of what debt our sin is. We talked about it a little bit in our Sunday school class, that some people will say, well, you know, my life is, I've done so many things that God can never forgive me. In that parable, God could forgive the debt of 10,000 talents, which would be more than all of Israel could have paid back in 20 years. In other words, there's a huge amount of money. The idea is God's grace can forgive any sin. And Jesus uses overstatement to bring that home. Now look at this little parable. What part of this parable just doesn't make any sense? Well, put yourself in the place of the two people. Put yourself in the one that has a friend come to him and he has a need. You have someone come to you and staying with you. Now, at this day and time, hospitality was very important. You know, they didn't have 7-Elevens or motels and stuff that people stayed in. So showing hospitality was important. It showed not only your honor, but even the honor of the whole village could be at stake, depending on how you showed hospitality. So you've got to, and notice too how many times he uses the word friend. You've got somebody comes to you and they need a place to stay. They need, you know, they're probably hungry. They've traveled all day and you don't have any food to give to them. You have a real need. And so you go to your friend. Now it's the middle of the night, maybe midnight or something, and you knock on their door. What do you expect them to do? You call out to them so they hear your voice. They know who you are. It's not like a stranger coming in the middle of the night. What do you expect them to do? You expect them to come to the door, don't you? Which one of us, if we go to somebody that we know, we've got an emergency in our house, and we go to somebody at even the middle of the night, and they recognize your voice, what do you expect them to do? You expect them to come to the door and see what you need. Think about the person in the bed. If any of us had gone to bed at night, locked all our doors, gotten everything all tight, and somebody knocks on our door in the middle of the night, and they call out, and we recognize their voice, so we know who it is, and they tell us they've got a problem, what would we do? Wouldn't we get up and answer the door? Which one of us would not get up and go to the door? You see, that's part of the parable that doesn't fit. Every one of us would get up and go to the door. If we had a friend come and they needed something, we'd go to answer the door. Well, see, Jesus is telling this parable. He says, you know that. You know that how you would react to this. Now, the point is what? How does God react to us? If each one of us, though we're very earthly and very much selfish, if any one of us would go answer that door, don't you think God is going to answer your prayer? That's the point Jesus is making. He says, if you would do this, this is the way you treat each other, isn't God going to treat you that way and even more so? Is God ever going to be, say, well, don't bother me? Can you think of a God ever saying that? Hey, he's not going to say, don't bother me. I'm too busy to answer that prayer today. You know, come back tomorrow. He said, that's not the way our God's going to treat us. And that's the point Jesus is making. He says, you don't even treat each other that way. If you, as he said later on, though you're evil in the gifts that you give, if you know how to treat each other, don't you think God knows how to treat you? Don't you think God's going to treat you even better than a friend would treat you? And that's the point of the parable. You have a God that when you go to him in prayer, he's going to answer you. He's going to answer you right then. You don't have to pester him or think about you got to bother him. You don't bother God with your prayers. You take the things that are important to you to your God in prayer. And he's going to answer those. Look at the next little part that goes along with it. Excuse me. He says, I tell you. Let me pick up. I tell you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. In other words, bring your prayers to God. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father? Here Jesus makes this contrast very plain. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you, who are evil, or basically worldly, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, there's a couple of little things embedded in this, though. We need to be seeking our Lord, seeking his ways and having faith in his ways and not faith in the world. That's what Jesus is saying. You need to be seeking your Heavenly Father. But notice the gift that He gives at the very end. Not just the physical things. We know God will take care of our physical being. But the greatest gift of all is what? The very one at the very end, the Holy Spirit. That the very spiritual gifts that we receive from our Lord come when we seek Him instead of seeking this world. Now look over the next little parable, and this is in chapter 18. And it goes along very similar to this. It's another parable that most of us are familiar with. And as I said before, if you look at 18 verse 1, it says, He told them a parable so they would always pray and not lose heart. What does losing heart mean? You ever lose heart? Ever get discouraged? There are times in our lives things happen to us, troubles come upon us. Ever just lose heart and just want to just throw in the towel, so to speak, and just give up? That's what He's talking about. If you go back to chapter 18 and go through what He talks about through 18, He talks about there's going to be times of real bad persecutions are going to come. There's going to be times when there's going to be real trouble, is what Jesus goes through chapter 17. And so then He gets to 18, He says, okay, when times of trouble come, how are you going to withstand it? How are you going to keep going? You're going to pray. And the prayer is going to strengthen you. When we turn to God in prayer, the prayer strengthens us as a people. That's what Jesus is saying. Even the act of praying itself strengthens you. And look at this parable. There's another one that most of us have read before. In chapter 18, it says, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, though I never fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, that's the same word that the friend was bothering him at the middle of the night, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down with a continuing coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to His elect, who cry out to Him day and night? Will He not deliver long over them? I tell you, He will give them justice and speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Now again, in this parable, we see a contrast between God and the unrighteous judge. It's easy for us to see. We think about God being a righteous judge. Well, Jesus doesn't give us a picture of a righteous judge, does He? He could have picked a good guy and said, now, how does this judge people? But He doesn't. He picks an unrighteous judge that's very self-centered. He says, I don't respect God. I don't respect people. In other words, I don't respect myself. I just want to do what pleases me, is what the judge is saying. He said, I don't care about you people over there. What's the point that Jesus is making? He said, well, this widow comes and she asks him to keep her from bothering me. The answer is very similar to the other prayer. Do our prayers bother our God? That's the point that Jesus is making. He says, if somebody on this earth, an unrighteous God, the very opposite of your Father cares for you. Your Father has honor and respect for you. He's exactly the opposite of this judge. Yet this judge, as bad as he is, he would still answer this prayer. How much more so will your Heavenly Father answer your prayers? That's what Jesus is saying. He says, when you pray, you know who you're praying to. And you know that He's going to answer, He's going to hear your prayer. And you don't have to have lots of words. You don't have to worry about how well you phrase things. I've heard people say, you know, that person really prays a really well-sounding prayer. You don't have to worry about how well your prayer sounds. You have to worry about the idea that you can take your prayer to your Heavenly Father and He will hear your prayer. And you don't have to worry about bothering Him or pestering Him. You don't have to worry about the fact, is He asleep today or too busy? He's never too busy to hear the prayers of His elect. One of the things I thought about, if you ever want to go back and read something very comical almost in the Bible, read about when... when they on Mount Carmel, when Elijah's there and they're praying to their gods and he's not hearing them, and Elijah sort of mocks them, says, "Well, maybe he's out of town today, so maybe you need to pray harder, or maybe you need to shout a little bit louder. Maybe he's asleep." We serve God. He's not out of town. He doesn't sleep. He hears the prayers of His elect. And that's what Jesus is saying. And so when things do go bad in your lives, you do have trouble, and troubles are going to come to Christians. That's what Jesus talks about. Pray to your God and don't lose heart. Don't faint, as some translations put it. Don't worry. Let the prayer comfort and strengthen you. Too often, we don't look about prayer the right way. We want to just God to fix everything in this world. And the New Testament doesn't talk about God just fixing our problems. But it does talk about God being our friend, being our Father who takes care of us. It does talk about a God who's a God of all comfort. He does talk about a God that strengthens His saints and gives us the things that we need to withstand the trials that we face. That's the God that we hear. And He's always there. You don't have to worry, well, I pray and I don't, you know, nothing ever changes. What are you looking for in your prayers? Are you looking for a God that will comfort you and strengthen you and see you through your troubles? You have a friend in Jesus. We sing that song, and I think it's a beautiful song because it brings out the idea you do have a friend. You've got a Heavenly Father that cares and takes care of you. That's what Jesus is saying to us. He's saying if even an unrighteous judge would take care of some people, what about a truly righteous God? Because that truly is the God that we serve. And just as a friend would get up in the middle of the night and help you out if you needed it, don't you think your Heavenly Father's going to always be there to hear your prayer? Sometimes I think we shortchange our prayers. We get into the habit of just praying for the little things, the temporary things of this world, the things that will solve the day's problems, instead of praying for the things that are eternal. When we think about prayer, we need to be thinking about what are those things that really matter in my life? What are the things that are going to be here, not just when this problem today is solved, but throughout all eternity? Do our prayers reflect our faith in eternity? And that's where I think sometimes we fall down a little bit. Because sometimes our prayers are very worldly, very much for the things, God, solve the problems I'm facing today. Instead of, God, be with me so that I can walk with You tomorrow. When we pray the way we should and look at our prayers to our Father and know that He is truly our Father, then we pray more on the lines, God, help me through today and tomorrow and be with me through all eternity. That's the prayers that we have. And those are the prayers that we have when we pray to the Father through the Son. Jesus said, if you ask anything in My name, asking in the name of Jesus means asking by His authority, by His will. It means that you're part of His. As we talked about in our Bible classes, you're in Christ. In Ephesians, it's talking about all spiritual blessings are for those in Christ. Are you in Christ this morning? Do you pray to the Lord through the Son who you've named as your Lord? Have you put Him on in baptism? When you put Him on in baptism, you die to this world to walk a new life in Him. If you started that walk with Him this day, think about your prayers and think about, do my prayers and your prayers this week, do they reflect your faith in the Lord and in His way? Think about making your prayers more spiritual and maybe less worldly, more eternal and less temporary. Think about your prayer life this week. If you have need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.